Take your Bibles, please, tonight. I want to call your attention to Psalm chapter 19, early verses that are there. I want to begin a series of Sunday night messages as I have opportunity to preach on Sunday nights. Pastor Watt and I kind of share the Sunday night responsibilities, and on nights that I'm here, I'm going to be dealing specifically with a central theme of restoring biblical childhood, and with that title, going in certain directions of how we've gotten away from biblical childhood and trying to get us back in line with what the Bible has to say. I want to draw your attention to Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of all the world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that You would undertake tonight as we seek to study this particular topic. We pray, Father, that we would let Your Word speak to our hearts, that we would examine our homes in light of the Scripture and where we're going tonight with this particular theme. We pray, Father, that we might see the necessity of returning to biblical childhood. We ask, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to look tonight at the topic of restoring biblical childhood, and specifically in relationship to God's creation. God's creation. I've been spending some time over the past several weeks looking at statistics from around the world, and there seems to be a general corrosion of children being outdoors in God's creation. I found a book by the name of Richard Louv. He is a British writer. And the title of his book is The Last Child in the Woods. The Last Child in the Woods. Kind of an interesting title. And this is what he writes in the beginning of the book. He says, our society, speaking specifically of British society here, our society is teaching young people to avoid direct experience in nature. That lesson is delivered in our schools, families, even organizations devoted to the outdoors, and codified into the legal and regulatory structures of many of our communities. I found that interesting. Now, he is a naturalist, this particular writer, and he goes on, and I'll share some other comments and statistics from his book, and he sees it more as a therapeutic problem, that kids aren't outside playing, they're spending all their time indoors. I want to present it as a theological problem tonight because I think we're finding this to be true in our homes that our children are spending far too much time inside, and as a result, they are ignorant concerning God's eternal power and Godhead. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that in the things that are made, God has revealed His eternal power and Godhead. You understand and realize, and this is on the back of your bulletin today, I listed out about six things that I thought were important in relationship to teaching boys and girls a devotional knowledge of God through creation and what they can learn by being outdoors, by being outside. And one of the things that I mentioned on there, let me just read from the back of this thing. The invisible things, number five, of God are clearly seen by the things that are made, including God's eternal power and Godhead. When you're outside, always be sure to underscore the power and might of God in the beauty, diversity, and orderliness of His creation. But look at number one, what I shared there. Creation displays the glory of God. God never said He would reveal His glory through man's what? Technologies. God never said that He would reveal His glory through technologies. Now, I have to say that Mr. O'Pager was the one that really got me to thinking in this direction. He shared back several months ago in a Sunday school lesson back in the spring about something that he had read in that regard and had pointed out the fact that today children, all they know are technologies. Let me share with you some things that was written in this particular book. Many parents allow their children to stay indoors all day. With what precious free time many kids enjoy, most of it is devoted to digital entertainment and electronic appliances. All right? Now, he goes on, a generation of boys now knows more about video games than about their local woods. Both girls and boys seem perplexed when confronted with nature, and many know the outdoors only through participation in athletic or sporting activities on courts or playing fields. In other words, man-made areas. That's the only thing they know, any outdoor activity. It's a dugout, or it's a field that was made by man, or it's a tennis court, or it's a basketball court. All those were made by man. He goes on and says, they never wander into the woods or sit by a creek simply watching tadpoles. What they know of nature, they get from the Discovery Channel. He's telling the exact truth. I mean, it's very pointed. Here is another magazine article. This was from the BBC. Most of the materials that I found were from British type things, but the BBC, on their online wildlife magazine, had an article about this very issue, and they said that they did a poll among children in British schools. Listen to this. Only half of a sample of 9 to 11-year-old children in Great Britain could identify a granddaddy long legs. Everybody know what a granddaddy long legs is? Okay. It says here only half of 9 through 11-year-olds in Great Britain could identify one. They didn't know what it was when it was shown to them. A mere 62% rightly identified a frog. That's startling to me. Only 62% of the 9 through 11-year-olds in Great Britain that were polled could rightly identify a frog. Sir David Attenborough, the famous British naturalist, laments this thing when he writes, "The wild world is becoming so remote to children that they completely miss out. This alienation of children from nature could lead to ecological disaster, since these children will grow to adulthood without developing a sense of wonder and appreciation of the natural world." Now, this is not a Christian writing here. This is Sir David Attenborough, who is a British naturalist, and he's bemoaning the fact that children do not have a sense of wonder to go outside and take a walk in the woods and just spend time. Now, all of us know that have been alive that are over age, we'll put it this way, over age probably 35, and probably we could go a little bit younger than that. Most of us spent most of our childhood in the woods. Let's take a poll. How many of you, 35 or older, spent time growing up and you've spent a lot of your time outside in the dirt or out in the woods? Raise your hand, please. Okay? All right? Now, that's pretty much the case. Under age 35, the numbers diminish dramatically according to the polls. The amount of time, as you get younger, the time inside increases until now the point is young people would rather be inside than outside. I put on the back of our church bulletin, David Attenborough, in his little magazine article in Wildlife Magazine, said that he went up to a child and asked them the question, "Would you rather spend most of your time inside or outside?" And he said, "I would spend all my time inside because that's where the outlets are." That's where the outlets are. The wonder of an electric outlet. That's where we are today. Now, indoor play as opposed to outdoor play. The secular world recognizes now that children are being robbed of their knowledge of nature because they spend so much time inside. Our kids are accustomed to air conditioning, sophisticated entertainments, and lack of physical activity. They are aliens to the outside world. Now, have you seen the commercials lately on television where they've got all these professional sports people? They have ladies golfers and football players and stuff, and they're singing this little jingle, "Get up, get up, get up, get out," wanting children to go out and spend 1 hour outdoors. And it's not outdoors in the woods, it's just outdoors playing a game. They're recognizing and they're seeing that there's a therapeutic disaster, an ecological disaster that's happening to our young people. But what is happening is that the more people stay inside, the less they know about God. Do you understand what the devil's doing today? I see all around me the work that is being set up for the revelation of Antichrist and creating a generation of indoor people who have no knowledge of God. And so when He comes on the scene, they will say, yeah, that's God. And the false prophet, we're told, goes around the world and he seeks to draw the worship toward the Antichrist, the God, and he is able to do that. He is able to divert the whole worldwide attention to this man, and they call him God. How is he able to do that? He creates a whole world, the devil does, a whole world of people who are completely devoid of a knowledge of God, the true and living God, because they've grown up spending their whole life inside. They can't identify God's creation. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare what? Would you say it out loud, please? The glory of God. Technology testifies to the glory of man. Now, I'm not against technology. I enjoy my computer. I'm so thankful. I type faster than I write now. I can get more done typing on a computer screen than I can do writing. If I write, it takes me forever. I'm much faster. I enjoy the technology. I enjoy the technology that we all have. I'm thankful for the hospitals that we have with all the new technology. We're able to preserve life longer than we used to because of the technology. But you know what? Technology only reveals the glory of man. It does not reveal the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament. What is the firmament? This is the firmament. The earth. God's earth declares, shows forth His handiwork. What is public education doing? What is college and university educating doing? It's talking about the glories of the indoor. You realize that all of man's technologies has developed a huge indoor environment of huge office buildings and industries are all indoors, and people spend most of their existence working inside. Do you know what that's doing? It's shielding man from the glory of God. And it's all part of the devil's handiwork, moving us toward that day when Antichrist is going to be revealed. We need to be alert to this. We need to be alert to this because you may, as a parent or as a grandparent, you may not realize this, but you may be helping your children to become more ignorant of God and not realizing it. And I'm not doing this as a rebuke. This is going to Todd Brainerd and his family. All right? I'm preaching to my family, and you can listen in if you'd like to tonight. All right? But I think it's important that we stress, and I'm speaking to our teachers here, Santa Rosa Christian School, we need to encourage. We need to get outside. And we need to take our children on tours of the campus and show them the woods and show them the things that God has made and point them to the heavens and show them the clouds overhead, because naturally speaking, they will not look up, they will not look down, they will not look side to side. Have you ever been going down the street, driving a car, and wave at people you know, and they never see you? You know? I guess I'm just different. I don't know. But I go down there, and sometimes I get wrapped up, too. I'm like everybody else. You know, you get wrapped up, and it's just, whoop, between the yellow line and the white line. That's my world. And you never look aside. And there are people that say, when did that sign get put up? I had somebody come up. I saw your new school sign. Do you know how many years we've had our school signs up? 5 years now. We've had signs up in Milton. And I saw your new sign. Now you say, what are you doing behind the wheel? People don't look up and look out. The same writer said, you know what we've done? Car manufacturers are now catering to parents where when kids get into a car, the first thing to do is look to the video thing. They don't look outside their windows anymore. They don't look outside to see creation and nature. And did you see that accident over there? Got their eyes glued on a screen, right? What are they seeing all the time? They're seeing the glory of man. Now, this is where technology, folks, this is where technologies cross the line when we spend most of our time with them and we spend very little time with God's creation. Now, this is very important. They have a name for this, by the way. I didn't realize this. This is a new name that's been coined. In 2007 was the first time that was your... You know what it's called? Nature Deficit Disorder. It's been diagnosed in Great Britain. Nature Deficit Disorder. NDD. We've got ADD. We've got HTV. We've got HDTV. And now we've got NDD. And it's true. It's true. But you know what it is? Basically, it's not so much nature deficit disorder. It's God deficit disorder. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight in this regard. Now, let's talk about organized play versus unorganized play for just a moment in this regard. Now, I know that I don't have scripture and verse for this, but I think that this is important. And we're going to get to Job 39 because I'm going to share with you where God takes Job to nature school, takes him to his creation, and it brings Job to repentance. I've never seen this before. I've always skipped over the latter chapters and just went on to chapter 40 through chapter 42 where Job, you know, he cries out to God. But what brought him to that place where he comes to God and says, I am vile? What brought him? God took him to nature school, took him through all of the different animal kingdoms, and Job realized how small he was. How small he was. Now, let's look for just a moment. Organized play versus unorganized play. When everything is organized, the youth have no opportunities to make up their own games and rules. How many of you ever made up a game and played by your own rules? Can you do that? Can you do that? Can our kids do that? Go outside and make up a game. All right? And make up some rules for it. We did that growing up. We did that growing up. We did it with a tennis ball. Get on either side of the house and pray we wouldn't hit mom and dad's windows. Throwing the ball over. See how many seconds it would take to get to the other side. Try to bounce it over to see who could get it done. And we would do point systems. And we'd have, you know, double the points or so forth like that if you caught it, if it went over the other side. Now, it's just a child's game, but it was the greatest fun we had growing up. My kids do that. Elizabeth's starting to get it where she can actually get it up on the roof. And some of the boys are now getting where they can get it over the pitch of the roof. Getting a little bit better than that instead of it rolling back onto their side. But we live in a world today that kids don't know how to play and they don't know how to go outside, and mamas are scared to death for the children to dig in the dirt. It's all right for kids to go out and just get filthy digging in the dirt. But today, oh, no, we don't do that anymore. Don't dig in the dirt. It's all right for them to go out and find a snake. A snake? Well, they might get bit. Well, you know, children have been bit for all generations and centuries. Isn't that interesting? They've been bit and they survived. I'm sure there's been some children that were bit and didn't survive. But you know what? There have been some snakes that have died after they bit a kid. You know, just curled right up and died. What we have done today, and I say this with all seriousness, we have become guilty of following culture and tramping right behind culture here, and so afraid. Today, kids can't even play games. They've outlawed in California schools dodgeball. Did you know that? You cannot play dodgeball in the public schools in California because there's winners and losers. We don't want there to be any losers. Somebody might kick the ball and miss it. If they miss it, they would feel bad about themselves and they have low self-esteem and all this kind of garbage and hooey that's been passed off on our children, and we can't have a winner and a loser anymore. Guess what? God says there's winners and losers. You're a winner if you're resting in the work of Jesus Christ, and you're a loser if you reject His Son. There's a heaven and a hell. Heaven are for winners that won in Jesus Christ. Hell is for losers who want to go with the biggest of all losers, and that's the devil. That's the loser place. That's what God created for the biggest of all losers, and if you want to join Him, then you just reject His Son and go on your way. There's winners and losers in life. best thing we can teach. I get this every year. Chris can testify. Roger, why do we keep score in pre-T? Why do you keep score with those little children? Oh, they get up there, they do so well out there, and then they see that score up there and it's 20-0, and they just have such a terrible, terrible feeling. When they, you know, those kids don't know. They don't know. I've been doing this too long. I've been working for pre-T for 22 years out here. And you go up to them and you high-five them and they think it's the greatest thing. Where's the snack? But you got Mama and Daddy. Oh, you lost tonight. You didn't win tonight. And the child, oh, no, we did something bad. You know? It's all right. And as Lord willing, as long as I'm able to have breath, we're going to keep score. Parents need to know that. Mr. O'Pager's talked about how sitting up in the stands listening to parents. You did so good when they missed the ball 19 times in a row. That's not reality. That's the devil's world. It's a sham. It's creating a sham with this little bubble that this child works in. I'm great. I'm wonderful. I'm good. I'm sweet. I'm kind because everybody tells me that. And so if somebody comes along and says, hey, knock it off. You're not going to throw rocks against our window out here. Go get Mama. A big meanie man told me not to throw rocks. Hey, that's the world that's been created from living inside. No fear of God because they don't believe there is a God. There's no God inside, only man. Outside, oh. How about this organized play? It's all right to have, we have organized play here, but I want to tell you something. Don't you long for the days of the sandlot? Don't you long for the days? I met one of our former coaches, Alex Fowkes. Some of you may remember Alex Fowkes. He's a chemist out there at the industrial park. And Alex told me he was up here at the ballpark this season. He said, you know what? He said, I've always enjoyed playing at Gospel Projects, but he said, the most fun I ever had was whenever your dad played ball with us out on the big lot out behind your yard. I said, Alex, he played high school ball. He played some college ball. He said, the most fun I ever had was playing sandlot ball out in the backyard when your dad would get everybody together, the boys in the neighborhood, and we would get out there and hit with just a stick. Not even a regular bat, just hit the ball, just goofing off. Said that was the most fun I ever had. Unorganized play. And just let kids get out there and dig a deep hole. Dig a big old trench out there and let them go at it. Get dirty and filthy. Here we have today a world of vacant lots, jumping rope, trees, swamps, creeks, snakes, crawdads, and all the creeping things calling children out of their inside havens of non-reality. Lack of interaction with human beings. You hear more and more about people that are going and shooting and killing, stabbing people. You got these video games where kids are driving cars and they can run over trees, walls, concrete bunkers, and the car never gets dented. And so they try it out here in the neighborhood. Right? I have seen more crosses erected to young people in this county than I've ever seen before. You drive along Highway 90 and you see cross after cross, and it's usually a teenager that died or something. And what was going on? Drinking and driving, driving wild and so forth. There's no reality impressed upon these young people. There is no God as far as they're concerned. There's no police. We just do what we want to. We had a couple of teenage boys up on our campus this week, decided to do donuts all over our soccer field that we just put grass and irrigation system on, driving at a high rate of speed. I happened to see them coming across the campus, and Mr. Whitney and I jumped in our vehicles at the same time, and I chased them down. I had to go all the way over to City Park. I chased them all the way down, stopped them in the middle of the street, and I said, I got your tag number, and I'm going to the police. I just wanted to let you know. Backed it up, smoked his tires all around me, going on his way, and I went down to the police station, gave him the tag, and we found out who they were. They had taken their grandmother's car, and I'm hoping that I can proceed with some kind of a reimbursement to the ministry for amounts to get that field back into shape. No regard for other people's property. Dangerous driving on a campus where children walk. No regard for that. I guarantee you they've grown up in front of a TV set and they watched it and they played it and all that kind of, now they're going to do it in real life. Lack of reality. Video games cannot reproduce a waterfall, a mountain sunset, a spider web. Catching a fish can't reproduce that. Beyond the digital, there is a lack of knowledge and understanding about where food comes from. Farming, livestock, the food chain. Children simply assume that food is processed by something like a factory process. This was the interesting thing in that book, The Last Child in the Woods, is that he mentions the percentage, and I didn't write it down, I should have, the percentage, but it was abnormal. The percentage that thought that all food came from a factory. No understanding of livestock or whatever. Why? They've grown up inside their whole life. Now, the purpose of creation. What is the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation is to show off the glory of God. Just putting it down, narrowing it down. Oh, it has its other secondary functions, understand. But the purpose of creation is to sing the glory of God and show off His power and His might. And so the devil says, how can I keep people from seeing the glory of God? That which He shows off, His power and His might and His God. How can I do that? I'm going to create a whole world indoors. I'm going to create a whole world inside that magnifies the glory of man. And so what happens to the purpose of creation, which shows forth His glory and His handiwork? It's not able to accomplish its purpose. And so hearts are readied for Antichrist. Hearts are being readied for Antichrist. The trump's going to sound, folks. Do we want our children to see the handiwork? We're going to have to get them outside. We're going to have to take time to point out the glories of God's creation and handiwork so that the purposes of God are manifested. Now, there are four things from Psalm chapter 19 that I want to point out to you, and then I want to turn over to Job 39 and finish up tonight. Four things. Number one, I want you to see the knowledge of the Creator's genius and greatness. When you go outside and you look at the heavens and you see the creation in the woods and how everything interacts and how God takes care of the little tiny insects out there that are crawling among the leaves and underneath the leaves of trees, how He's taking care of them, and then you see Him taking care of the birds and He provides their food for them. Squirrels weren't worried about food prices. The foxes and deer on our campus here, and by the way, we've got some deer. Did y'all know that? Found some footprints behind the, was it the shop this week? Down at the Learning Center, we found deer prints at the Learning Center. And we've got some deer out here in this wooded area over here, and so we've got some fox and so forth like that. They're not holding meetings out there in the woods right now, and I said, now listen, boys, food prices are going up at Winn-Dixie. We're going to have to come up with a plan. So we've invited Senator Kerry to come down and share with us his plan. For, he had all the plans back in 2004. Never shared anything about the plans, but they had plans. I've got a plan. I've got a plan. I've got a plan. It was the plan that never was planned. And they're not out there meeting out in the woods, you know, scratching their heads, rubbing their little paws together. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? The Lord provides their food to them on a daily basis. You see the creative genius? If you're stuck inside all the time and all you see is man's genius, that's all you think there is. Right? That's all you think there is. I used to laugh. Dr. Hobbs used to tell about a man that said that all he thought in this world was that there was for food was turnip greens. And then he ate strawberry shortcake. And he said, there's a whole new world out here. Now, if all you do is eat turnip greens all your life, that's all you think there is. And if you grow up inside and all you are saturated with is man's technologies and man's genius from sun up to sundown, guess who you're going to honor? You're going to honor man And what do we have today in our public education world? It's honoring man. What are we doing in our college and university levels? We're honoring man. What are we doing at NASA? We're honoring man and his devices and inventions. And though wonderful they are, and we thank the Lord for any benefit that we have, it still glorifies man. It does not glorify God. Secondly, I want you to see the significance and supernatural meaning of creation. The heavens declare. The heavens are not silent. They're talking all the time. They are magnifying the glory of God. Hubble telescope has sent back some of the most unbelievable pictures of outer space. Hubble telescope, by the way, is simply a mirror reflecting what's out there and transmitting it back to Earth so we can see what it is. And you look at the colors, and you look at the formations that are out there, and the thousands upon thousands of galaxies that dot the landscape of the heavens, and to think all God did was speak it into existence. All He had to do was speak it into existence. And yet, our children today are being confined and encapsulated, and they never see that. They never see that and have a significance and supernatural understanding of God's creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And notice verse 2. Day unto day uttereth what? Speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. The insects are talking. And you know what they're talking about? They're talking about the handiwork of God. Every bird that whistles, every bird that chirps, is singing the tune of glory to God in the highest. That's what they're doing. That's what they were created to do. Only man bucks God and goes against it. That's why Christian rock and rock music and all the country and western garbage that you hear is an offense to God. Because what does it magnify? Man. It magnifies man. Talks about man. Talks about man and his woman. Talks about man and his dog. Talks about man and this and man and that. But never in its music does it honor it. Oh, you may have Bible verses put to country and western music and it just tears the whole thing up because it's a man-centered tune and how it's put together. Now, let's move on. Thirdly, a sense of wonder of the glory of God in nature. A sense of wonder. It's good to be shocked by what's out in nature. It's good to find that, to get a sense of wonder, to have a little bit of fear as you step into a forest area, realizing that God has all kinds of creatures out here that He's taken care of. He'll take care of you too. Can we have that kind of faith that the animal kingdom has? That God's going to take care of them? That's what Job 38 and 39 is all about. We'll have to get that another time. Sense of wonder. Do our children have a sense of wonder about God's creation? I think not. Fourthly, a sense of understanding that salvation is needed by mankind. Romans chapter 1. Turn there and we'll close, and I'll pick up with this another time. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Do you realize that God has manifested in our own bodies His creative power and genius and might and glory? In our own body. He's done it in our conscience. You read on in chapter 2, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So God has put into our conscience this understanding of right and wrong in a relationship to an almighty power and being that created us. That's put into man. What does the devil want to do? I want to shut out every knowledge I can of God. So what am I going to do? I'm going to seek to destroy man's conscience. I'm going to lower the morals down so low that any old hog can roll in. And that's what we've got today. We've got a hog pen of a world. created by the devil and our old flesh that wants to have it that way. Why? So he can destroy any knowledge of God. Notice, please, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are, say it please, made. Who made them? God did. So if I'm going to learn about God and His understandings and His things that He wants to teach, I'm not going to learn about them in man's world. I'm going to learn about it in God's world. That's the message. And you know what else I learn? I understand that I have to deal with God. I have to deal with a living God. I must be saved by a living God. Now, the knowledge of creation will not save you. Creation, like everything else, the law and the Scriptures, are to point man to the Savior. And who created all things, we're told in Colossians? Jesus Christ. By Him all things consist. And so creation points and hollers out the name of Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners. But what do we have? The whole world's religious system, the whole world's educational system, the whole world's entertainment system. You just mark it down. Everything that's in this world is to diminish God and His power and His might. Little children, let's go inside. Sounds innocent, doesn't it? Let's go inside and let's live out our existence inside. Seems so inconsequential, does it not? Until you read Job chapters 38 and 39, when God takes Job to school and He uses the curriculum of creation to bring about repentance in His servant's heart. I encourage you, over the next week or two, Pastor Watt's going to be preaching next Sunday night, and I'll be preaching, and Lord willing, if the rapture doesn't come, be sharing again from that. I encourage you to read those chapters and then go to chapter 40 and see Job's response. As God takes him through the curriculum of creation to show His might and power and His genius. And Job responds to that. Job responds to that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we seek by Thy grace to be as biblical as is humanly possible, seeking Thy power and Thy grace in our lives. And Lord, as we see in a big, wide screen, the push and the move of culture as we approach the time and revelation of the Antichrist, Lord, we realize that it's always a movement away from Christ and the Bible and God and creation, and it's a movement toward man in every shape and form, from religion to education to entertainment. Every area of society and life is geared for one thing: to diminish God and the knowledge of God and to increase the knowledge of man. Father, help us to see that. Help us not to get caught up in that and then by default rear a generation of children that do not know the God of the Bible and of creation. Lord, I pray that You would show us through Your Word where areas in which we need to strengthen our lives, areas in which I need to strengthen my own family and life, Lord, as You brought this to my attention through the study of Your Word. And I pray that You would speak to us in such a way where we get down to business of exalting God and His creation and all the things that He has made, the wonder and might of God, and not keep it to ourselves, but as fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, share it with our children and grandchildren. Sit them down outside and talk to them about the wonderful things that God has made so that they will not be ignorant of the glory and majesty and power of God. Lord, I pray that You would use Your Word tonight to work in our hearts, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.